If you've been attending our church during the last year, you know we've been studying Romans. You know our theme has been, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You also know that beginning in September, I kept asking us, what's going to be different in our lives as the result of spending a year studying a book of the Bible like Romans? By June, which is now we're in that month, what changes was God going to make in your life? I don't know if you've been thinking about it. I know I have. And today's sermon has a lot to do with one change that I'm really ready for God to make. And that has to do with this idea of sharing burdens. As I told you earlier in the service, somehow, for whatever reasons, genetic or environment, I've been a worrywart. And Christianity has not conquered that worry. It's something that drains me, and I think drains many of you. I spend my life carrying loads that God doesn't intend me to carry alone. And for that reason, a lot of the rest and the joy and the freedom that Christianity should give, I haven't shared enough of that, and I want more. So this sermon is about that. If by chance I have some company in being one who gives things to God and then takes them back, well, maybe we'll learn something together here today as we prepare for communion. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we are rejoicing again how living and active and relevant your word is. The Bible is such a practical book. It seems to meet us right where we live. And today we pray your Holy Spirit will give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond to this incredible offer Jesus is making to us. We also realize, after a lot of experience, we're not going to change unless you do the miracle of changing us. 10 steps of how to do it won't do it. But God, we want a miracle this morning, and we pray that as we read your word and study it, that miracle will happen. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Today I want to talk about resources that Jesus offers to those who are weary and are heavy laden, to those who carry burdens too heavy to bear alone. And this word is from Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Life has a way of giving us burdens too heavy to carry alone, and when that happens, we need a friend. Today we celebrate communion, and in this sacrament, we are going to symbolize how Jesus wants to be the closest, most intimate friend in the world to us. One who comes alongside and helps us carry life's load. So let's consider the response of Jesus to the question, what to do with a burden, with the one you brought to church today. First, Jesus says, come to me, and I will give you rest. That seems so obvious. It's almost a cliche. How does that help? Let me suggest, being an old pro at worrying and carrying burdens, it's only when we are so weary and heavy laden, so burnt out that other support systems can no longer sustain us, that we're ready and able to hear these words of Jesus, come to me. And I have to believe that God somehow scheduled this sermon because somehow many of us this weekend were reaching that point where we were ready to hear this offer. If we're coping with life alone, if you can find resources out in the world by which to make it, who needs Jesus? I agree with you. However, life has a way of throwing us a curve, sometimes unexpectedly. A curve that involves a burden so great that it makes every support system we've ever used deficient. And at this point, the words of Jesus take on new meaning, come unto me. I'm convinced, although it seems to go against the grain of American rugged individualism, I'm convinced life was designed for partnership with Jesus, and we are incomplete people until we are living in a close relationship with this living, resurrected Christ, who's our best friend. I believe with Jesus we can carry things which are impossible to handle alone. And I want to illustrate it with a very true and beautiful illustration. In 1982, Mark Wellman was paralyzed in his legs. He was injured in a hiking accident. Revealing incredible courage, Mark refused to live the rest of his life in a wheelchair. Now he skis. He's built a sled-like device and he goes down the mountain and keeps up with the rest of them. But one day he had a dream to hike again. And not just hike, but he wanted to conquer El Capitan in Yosemite Valley. 4,500 feet of sheer granite face. Well, realizing he couldn't climb alone, he found a friend named Mike Corbett. You remember the story. I hope you followed it. For 6 days, Mark Wellman pulled himself up that granite face, doing the equivalent of 7,000 pull-ups, climbing only with his arms. I find that incredible. I don't have the courage to go over the top of El Capitan and look down, much less climb with no leg support at all. His heroic effort captured the imagination of the world. And I was watching a video of it last week, and there's an incredible happening right at the end of the climb. They've reached the top, they have to go over the crest, and this is where Mike, of course, or Mark cannot walk. Mike, his partner, has already done the equivalent of climbing that face 4 times because he had to go up, stick in the pylons, and then pull Mike, and they were working in that way, which meant his partner did 4 times the work that even Mark Wellman did. But at the end, with one mighty surge of power, he puts Mark on his back, and Mike carries Mark over the crest for the whole world to see. Someday we're going to have videos in here, and I can show you a picture of that right at this point, because it's dramatic, and it makes this point. Mark would have never conquered that El Capitan mountain without the help of his friend, Mike Corbett. And the greater story is that you and I are as helpless to climb the El Capitans that confront us in life without Jesus. We're as helpless to climb as Mark Wellman was unable to climb without Mike Corbett. And that's a fact of life, and for some of us it takes decades to learn that lesson. We spend so much of life on the face of the cliff, just pulling ourselves up and getting nowhere and wondering why we're tired and stressed and burnt out. But let me tell you this. No burden is too heavy, and no mountain is too tall to climb when we allow Jesus to climb with us. That's a fact of the Christian life. So are you weary and heavy laden today? I'm going to simply say to you, invite Jesus to climb with you. So simple. Why don't we do it? Well, that's related to a second insight in the text about what to do with the burden. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." A yoke symbolizes the price of partnership with Jesus, and it tells us why most of us are still burden-bearing all alone. Being city people, we're not aware that a yoke is a mechanism that enables two animals to pull side by side. And what's interesting, and I never knew this before this sermon, an animal has to learn to be yoked to another animal. In fact, horse breakers and trainers will take an ox or a horse, someone trained in a yoke, a horse is, and bring the unbroken one alongside. And they'll harness the unbroken one to the one who knows how to use a yoke, and they'll literally walk side by side, and the trained one will train the untrained one. And it's a horrible, painful process. Jesus must have known that from his day when he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." As Christians, we have been called to literally yoke our lives with Jesus Christ. We were never meant to pull it alone. But there's a price involved. To be yoked with Jesus feels funny. It means that at times we feel bound up. The world says it's all his tight laws and that straight way of living that we Christians have to follow that rob us of life at its fullest and best. And then there's that whole issue of being bound to Jesus and having to trust him and his timing with the problem and his ways and his will. And you know what? Many of us spend years fighting that yoke, his yoke of authority. However, as the journey of life continues, at least for this one preacher, and I hope for many of you, as other support systems fail, gradually we understand that yoking with Jesus is the only way life is going to be bearable. It's the only way we're going to get to the top of the mountain. There is no other way to live except in partnership with Jesus. And the so-called freedom of the world out there is not freedom. It's a balloon that one day is going to pop and life's load is going to crush us. And of course, there's all kinds of support systems out there. Our people are using it like mad in drugs and various kinds of dependencies and consumerism and the things that our society do to make life bearable. Last week, we even have a killing machine now. So when it gets unbearable, you can kind of plug it in and cash out. That's what people do who don't have Jesus. But we should be different. We claim to love Him. We claim to follow Him. And He wants to come and bring our souls rest. He wants to join us in a yoke and pull with us. Here's the basic truth of our text. And it's the insight that I'm gaining this year, which I hope will finally bring victory in this area of my life. Jesus does not remove life's burdens. He only offers us a new way to carry them. And being a child of the 50s, I don't like that very much. I need to tell you, being raised in the decade of the 50s was great, and yet I resent it, because it gave me almost a fantasy approach to life. I have literally, in my very cells of my body, bought into the fact that somehow, like when you get married, you sail into the sunset, live happily ever after. That has to do with every aspect of life. That life begins when problems are over, and you sort of don't learn to live with problems, you learn to escape them in order to find happiness. I have discovered, very painfully, and I don't like it, but it's true, life is always going to be a succession of problems from which I cannot escape. I thought parenting would end when kids leave for college. That seemed fair. I don't remember being any burden to my folks after I left for college. It hasn't worked out that way for us. You know, I'm glad to know we have some company. And that's really true. You know, here's the point. No sooner will we solve one problem, and another one's going to take its place. The concept of the 50s that we're here to live problem-free is a myth. And many of us have adopted this myth as a theme for life. I call it, because I used it, just as soon as. It's a beautiful myth. Just as soon as this week is over, or just as soon as I graduate, or get married, or have children, or get that career, or close this deal, or just as soon as I leave the office and go on vacation, or I solve this financial crisis, or I recover from this illness, just as soon as that happens, life will begin. And the problem is, it doesn't. And the greater problem is, life doesn't begin. And it goes on to be one long burden-bearing frustration. And we feel ripped off. A mentality that believes life begins when problems end is doomed to frustration, and Jesus won't even speak to that myth. And that's why we must capture what Jesus is saying here. He did not come to give us a vacation from problems, an umbrella of protection. Jesus does not promise escape. Jesus comes here with a new way to carry life's burdens. And that's the only answer that really works. If we're going to go on having problems, which we will, the only formula that works is, here's someone who will come alongside and help us pull rather than run away. I can find a lot of friends who want to help me feed my myth to run away, bail out on responsibility. And in fact, let me read from the psalmist, because he did it. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. And I say, listen, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I'd fly away and be at rest. Where do you want to go when you're stressed out? I know, I've told you, I like Balboa and Catalina and Tahoe. I don't know where you dream, but where do you go for that desert retreat when you want to run away? The psalmist caught himself But he says, I call upon the Lord. He will deliver me from the battle that I wage. In God I trust without a fear. What can flesh do to me? So I won't run away. That's the ping pong game of life. Lord, I trust you. I won't run away. Problems come. I want to bail out. I'm weary and well doing. And we go from one extreme to the other. And some of us get very sick of living in that kind of dynamic. Well, Jesus comes with a new way to carry burdens. And he says, let's face it, you're always going to have something too heavy to carry. You might as well get used to it. So accept my yoke, my authority, and allow me to come alongside with you and pull with you. Live life my way, and we'll stay together, and I'll help you pull this load. And then you won't stress out or burn out, and your soul won't get fatigued. Without exception, every time I feel overwhelmed in ministry, in parenting or in temptation, I discover I'm doing it alone. And that's not God's will, that's Walt's will. When the psalmist finally yoked with his Lord, the burden became bearable. It's like the words of this hymn. He giveth more grace when the burden grows greater. He sendeth more strength when labors increase. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. What a promise. If you don't understand it at this point, I guarantee you live long enough and you will. So we return to the question of the sermon. What do you do with a burden? Well, our text says Jesus is available and cares about us. And yet, here's the dilemma in my experience. I share burdens with Jesus, I preach sermons on them, and then I take them back again. And I've concluded I have no steps to give you today of how to come unto Jesus and take his yoke and find rest. Probably 5 years ago, I would have given you 5 steps. Read the Bible, pray, and et cetera, et cetera. The problem is, it hasn't worked for me. I've concluded I need a miracle, and nothing less is going to do if I'm ever going to get to that place where I find the rest of Jesus Christ for my soul. Jesus must change our hearts and our attitudes in order for us to come and share his yoke. I cannot, even after 40 years of effort, change in my own strength. But that's good news. Because finally, I think I'm at the place where Jesus can get through. I'm as helpless as Mark Wellman trying to climb El Capitan, and I've tried to deny that I have paralyzed legs. However, I want to change, and that's all God needs for a beginning. I can learn from Jesus. If we're serious today about unloading a crushing weight, I want to suggest a prayer that I'm using sometimes every hour. Lord Jesus, change my heart. I can only give you a burden and leave it with you if you do it. I'm tired of carrying loads that are crushing life's joy right out of my soul. But Lord, fix me. Take my burden and give me rest. I can't do it. And I'm discovering he really is doing it. Now, I know of nothing we as Christians do that brings us closer to Jesus than in the next few moments in this act of communion. Today, we partake of bread and wine, and I trust that you're going to rediscover just how close Jesus is to you. He's literally in your life. And I hope he'll energize you to accept this invitation. Come unto me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's why we're in church today. He has a gift to give us. He's been looking for us. He wants to lift that burden. I'd like us to respond to this message with a song. It's hymn number 415, and we're going to sing it right before we partake of communion. Look at the words. It's a beauty, and I hope that'll be a resource to help you respond to the invitation. Let's stand and sing this together, just the two verses. Thank you. seated. That's a promise you can count on. It's backed up with the love represented in this table. And I share with you the words of Paul the Apostle, who said, I have delivered unto you as of first importance what I also received, how the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had broken it, he said, this bread is my body broken for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you show forth the Lord's death until he come. If Jesus died for us, don't you think it's time to ask for the miracle that we'll trust him with our burdens, so he can bring us today that rest for our souls that tells the world out there he's alive and well? Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus, come and meet us in this hour. Take weary, heavy souls, refresh us. Those who are ready to pull the plug, burn out, fly like a dove to some wilderness that's only a mirage, don't let us go. Heal us this hour. Give us a mentality of not running away from life, but having you as a partner and confronting the life in the name of the Lord and climbing mountains and winning victories, and use this table to energize us to do it as you set apart these elements from a common to a sacred use. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.